We're sung the Messiah. At the beginning, there is the tenors, I think it's referred to as a recitative, and it's taken from these words. Listen for the word of God and allow it to find you where you are on your journey today. Comforts. Comfort, O my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from God's hand a double for all of her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places will become plain. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All the people are grass. Their consistency is like flowers in the field. The grass withers and the flowers fade, and then the breath of the Lord blows upon them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers like the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, and herald good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, and herald good tidings. Lift it up, do not be afraid, says, do not be afraid, and say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord comes with might, with a great arm to rule and to reward. And then the recompense will be paid before our God. He will feed the sheep like a flock, like a great shepherd. He will gather all the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. The poetic and beautiful word of life. Thanks be to God. I'm dorky enough that I love prophets. I love the stories of Elijah being taken away in a chariot of fire and how Elijah was fed by ravens. I love the stories of John the Baptist, although I stayed away from the John the Baptist text today. It's the fiery prophet who pops out of the womb with thus saith the Lord written all over his lips and lightning coming out of his eyes and yelling at everyone who would listen that you need to repent. I want to take John the Baptist and I want to sick him on a few people. I want to take John the Baptist and I want to sick him on Mary Fallon, the governor. I would pay money to watch that conversation. I want to take John the Baptist and I want John the Baptist to go into the people at Goldman Sachs who last year posted a deficit and then gave their employees $8 billion in rewards for their work. I want to take John the Baptist in and have him talk to all the bankers who gave loans to people who couldn't afford it and then they lost their homes. I want to take John the Baptist and I want him to basically, if I'm being honest, to go talk to anyone I disagree with. That's pretty much it. It's kind of like driving. There are only two kinds of drivers I don't like. Those who drive faster than me and those who drive slower than me. But the prophet's supposed to tell us how the world is supposed to be. And generally, the prophet calls us on our stuff. Calls us on our stuff saying you're not living the way you should. And if you did, things would be better. But today, all through Isaiah, this call to repentance has happened. Babylon destroyed Jerusalem, and most of the people in Jerusalem were exiled to Babylon. But today, there are words of comfort. God says to the people, comfort, oh my people, comfort. Everything's settled. It's time to go home. And that's the story of spirituality. That's a story of the soul, right? It's the Iliad and the Odyssey. It's Jason the Argonaut trying to get back home. It's the story of the homecoming in which the Waltons were written about. It's the journey home that our soul tries to find its place. And as Augustine, Bishop of Hippo, says, our soul is not at rest until it finds its rest in thee. So the prophet speaks comfort. And in a desert, a way is made. For the people to get from Babylon back to Jerusalem, the easiest way to do it would be to go through the Syrian desert, a wilderness. And God saying, even in the wilderness, O soul, I will make a way for you. So I feel like today I'm compelled to speak comfort to you. To speak comfort in a world of Ebola. To speak comfort in a world where police and people of color are hurting one another. To speak comfort in a time when it's not always easy to feel joyful, and yet we're compelled to do it. I want to speak comfort to you and tell you as a church, and I may get emotional, I am so proud of you. I am so proud of who you are. This is not the same church I walked into 14 months ago. When I walked in, the anxiety was through the roof. People were yelling and screaming at each other. People were fighting. And there are two rules that I live by in ministry. One, choose your battles. And two, things are never about what they're about. I knew that people weren't angry at each other. You all were hurting. You're grieving. The loss of your founding pastor. You were hurting. And now, look at you. Strangers come in and they're welcomed. Think of all the babies that come around me when we have the children's sermon. I don't know where my lesbians are today, but we generally have a big old group of lesbians over there who have my back. You gotta get your peeps back. Gotta get your peeps back. Bo and Kenny said, we're going to continue to meet before and after worship and fellowship. Ron says, we're going to keep having the potluck. This choir, oh my God, what you do with those few voices is astounding. The music continues to be joyful, and you continue to love one another. We do hear horrible things about what's going on in the world, but I want to tell you, hang on to the hope. Don't believe it. I knew a guy who owns a record service. And on Thanksgiving Day, there was a group of people in a van. It's a Mexican family. And he lives in a small town. And so he took them to a hotel while their car was going to be worked on. Their van was going to be worked on. And all the hotels were closed or filled. And so he said, I'll take you to my grandmother's house. We're having Thanksgiving together. The mother, who barely spoke English, said, no, too many, too many. And my friend said, there's always room for other people. So he took a whole van full of people he'd never met before, and they had Thanksgiving together. And later the woman who said, too many, went up to him and said, too much, too much. There is great goodness going on in the world. And so I want to invite you today. Can you go into the world and speak comfort to people? Can you go into the world and speak comfort to people who sorely need it? On my own spiritual journey, I'm looking for moments that I call sacred doors. When people tell me something, often very painful, to go in there with them and to sit with them in their pain. On Thanksgiving Day, I chose to work at the VA because I didn't want to sit around and mope. And I was at the elevator. There was a man sitting in a wheelchair. I asked him if he was okay. He said, yeah, I just lost my breath. I want to go outside. So I said, I'll wheel you outside. So I was taking him outside, And he said, I just found out I have terminal lung cancer. And that voice inside me said, sacred door, don't run. And so I sat down and talked to him about it. And he has maybe 6 months to live. Rather than running away, I said, so how do you want to spend the next 6 months? Offer comfort to people. Because we live in a world of pain. We live in a world of abuse. We live in a world where people will retaliate rather than forgive. We live in a world of broken families and broken people. Comfort, comfort, oh my people. The world needs you. The world needs your voice. Knowing that, I wonder how you'll choose to live this next week. Think about it. Amen.
Amen.